The Hegg Bakken Report, produced by the Bakken experts, Hegg Companies, founded in 1945.
He recently became the mayor of the fourth largest city in North Dakota, and he has his plate full. Mayor Chuck Barney coming up from the Hegg Companies. This is the Hegg Bakken Report.
Here are the latest news from Bakken newsmakers. Subscribe to the Hegg Bakken Report podcast on iTunes at heggcompanies.com/podcast.
From the Hegg Companies, Dickinson, North Dakota studios in the heart of the Bakken, this is the Hegg Bakken Report podcast for the first full week of August 2014. The Bakken rig count stands at 193, and West Texas Intermediate crude's being traded at $97.65 a barrel at press time. We'll be back with the mayor of Minot, North Dakota, Chuck Barney, coming up on the Hegg Bakken Report.
Whether your needs are long-term or short-term, Green Door Business Condos and Self-Storage in Watford City has just what you're looking for. They're open 24 hours a day and are a fully gated premises with cameras and climate-controlled units that will put you at ease that your office and storage items are safe and secure. Green Door Business Condos offers high-speed internet, training rooms, conference facilities, garage and storage yard for your equipment. Give Kelsey a call today, 605-336-2111, and find out about their great rates and availability. Get on their waiting list now for the end of 2014.
Are you looking for apartments with luxury, location, and convenience? Then check out Watford City's newest addition, Auburn Ridge Apartments, located off Highway 23 in the Hunter's Run Master Planned Community. Auburn Ridge offers all the amenities of comfortable living in the heart of the Bakken. Auburn Ridge offers studio, one-bedroom, two-bedroom, and three-bedroom units with on-site laundry, direct TV, high-speed internet, exterior decks, private and paved parking, and the options of furnished apartments. Auburn Ridge will have you feeling at home in no time. Auburn Ridge is now leasing apartments for December 2014. Contact Kelsey at 605-336-2111 to find out about leasing options and pricing.
Today on the Hegg Bakken Report, we get in touch with the mayor of the fourth largest city in North Dakota, Mayor Chuck Barney. Welcome to the Hegg Bakken Report.
Thanks, Bill. I appreciate being on the show.
Well, tell us a little bit about yourself, Mayor. Where were you born and raised?
I was born in western New York, a very small town west of Rochester, on the shores of Lake Ontario, and I chuckled because I just returned from there for a very large class reunion, many years, I'm embarrassed to say, but I grew up there, but I've lived in Minot for the last 23 years.
You mentioned New York. You also were in Indiana during college, Chicago, St. Louis, finally Atlanta before landing in Minot. Besides the obvious, what can you tell us about how those places compare to North Dakota?
Well, I think the real telling trait there is we stopped in Minot. That's, you know, we were looking for a quality of life. We were looking for an environment where we could raise our children and they would get the values and the ethics that we as a family valued. And we lived in a lot of really great cities, but the one that we really stuck with, the one that really spoke to us, was Minot. My wife is originally from Minot, so we did have some family here, but when we came back here, it was a real connection, and we certainly love it here and wouldn't change anything for the world.
How many children do you have, sir?
I have two adult children, or my wife and I have two adult children. Chris is 27 and is currently living in California. My daughter is 25, and she lives in Minot and works at in the HR department for First Western Bank and Trust.
What did you do professionally in Minot before running for mayor?
Well, I'm currently the. I'm glad you asked me that because I always like to plug my. My employer and the program that I'm working with. I'm currently the director of the Severson Entrepreneurship Academy at Minot State University. And that's a program that we're very, very proud of because it gives students and people in the community to get hands-on business training. You get to apply the concepts that you learn in the classroom in real-world settings and help people that want to start businesses in Western North Dakota and actually contribute to their business plan and see things, see businesses start from the ground up and take them through fruition. And we're real proud of that program, and it's been growing, and I think it's a real benefit to certainly Minot, but also Western North Dakota.
Can you tell us a bit about your public service career as well? You were on multiple boards and committees, I understand, for Minot previously.
Yeah, I started off on the, I've been on a lot of different boards, but probably the ones that are the most interesting or appropriate would be, I was appointed by, I believe it was Mayor Baucus, to be on the Convention and Visitors Bureau, and served on that committee, going through the chairs and serving as its president for a year. I served on the Minot Area Chamber of Commerce board as its treasurer. I've been on the Minot Area Development Corporation board. I served 12 years as a city alderman representing the 4th Ward, 4 of those years as council president, 8 years as the finance committee chairman. And also, one of the things I'm most proud of is I served as a assistant scoutmaster for Troop 416 here in Minot with the Boy Scouts, and then also served as the district chairman for the Boy Scouts in Western North Dakota.
With everything that you said in the last 5 minutes, Mr. Barney, it seems obvious to me that the next step in your life would be to run for mayor's office of Minot. Was there a defining moment when you said, okay, this is next? How did that come about in your decision to run for the mayor's office?
Well, I chose not to run for re-election in 2012. I'd served 3 terms as alderman and felt like it was time to step down and maybe do some different things. And, you know, we had a very, very good mayor, Mayor Zimbelman, who's a friend of mine. And when he announced fairly early on that he was not going to be running again for a 4th term, I had some very distinguished gentlemen in the community approach me. And we had several discussions about it. I visited with my family. I visited with the university. And we took several months of thinking about it. And what I ended up doing was meeting with people in the community from as many different walks of life and different areas of the community as I could, usually one-on-one or in very small groups, to talk about the issues that we as a community are facing and where the hot spots were, the hot buttons. And after having all of those discussions, I felt like, you know, let's do this and try to bring the experience that I've had and the vision that we want to go forth with as a community and try to do that as mayor.
You had a lot of support from the community. It was very obvious. And you were also, you ran uncontested, but I don't believe that put you in a comfort zone at all. What was it like being the only name on the ballot?
Well, I didn't treat it that way at all. And there was a write-in candidate that announced fairly late. And he's a young guy, Kevin Mayer. And he's got a lot of ambition, and he's got a lot of good ideas. And shortly after the, you know, my first meeting as mayor, when I was seated as mayor, my very first appointment was appointing Kevin as a member of the Planning Commission. He and I had visited several times, and I told him that in my opinion, if he was looking into public service and looking at a committee where he would gain a lot of experience and a lot of information, I thought that the Planning Commission would be a really good fit. And he ultimately agreed, and I made that appointment right after the election. We didn't take it for granted. We worked hard right up to the end. We did a lot of speaking. We had a lot of interviews. We were very happy with the results.
And now that you are mayor, what are some of your plans for the city of Minot? Let's start with some of the bigger policies like budget, quality of life, taxes, infrastructure, and so on. What are you looking at, sir?
Yeah, all those things. It's ironic that you asked me about the budget. I've been reviewing the proposed budget, which just came out for Minot. Of course, the president of the council is the one that presents it to the council, but I certainly plan on having my input on it. So we're working on that real hard right now. There's a number of major issues in Minot. Quality of life was probably the number one issue that came out during the campaign and during my listening sessions. And quality of life means different things to different people. If you're maybe in a little bit older demographics, maybe you're retired, lived in Minot a long time, quality of life means generally affording your home, public safety, and old Minot. If you're younger, if you're starting off, you have a young family, quality of life means affordable housing and affordable daycare and good quality jobs and things to do for your family, activities, parks, recreation, those sorts of things.
The 2011 Souris River flood, devastating, and it caused a lot of problems, some of which we're still dealing with today, like the abandoned home problem in Minot. What are you looking to solve there?
Well, I had a meeting over lunch today with a gentleman who's kind of head of a grassroots group that is tackling with the city the abandoned and neglected homes that are still left over from the flood. And, you know, we are getting some support from the state. Governor Dalrymple has been supportive and has found us some resources in helping to identify exactly who owns these homes. Because it seems kind of a strange thing, but many of the homeowners that lived in the valley, they walked away from the loan, and tracking down who the actual owner now has been very challenging because those loans get bought and sold so many times. So the governor has gotten us some support to do that. We've also looked at what federal programs may be available out there, either through CDBG or other programs that we can use to mitigate the safety issues associated with these abandoned homes. You know, many of them have washed out foundations or broken windows and things that are not just a nuisance, but are a real public safety issue. So the city has found some money in the current budget, and we're certainly looking at some more dollars in the 2015 budget to help mitigate those safety issues, because that's first and foremost what we need to address with the abandoned homes.
We have more with Minot, North Dakota Mayor Chuck Barney coming up on the Hegg Bakken Report.
If you need workforce housing in the heart of the Bakken, Amber Hills Lodge in Wofford City is the answer. Amber Hills Lodge has private suites, kitchen, and on-site laundry, direct TV with NFL ticket, high-speed internet, and more. There are long-term and short-term leases available. Amber Hills Lodge conveniently located 1 mile south of the latest grocery, retail, shopping, and restaurant development in Wofford City. For more information, go to amberhillslodging.com or call Jackie at 605-336-2111.
For the finest in luxury living, the Minot North Highlands Apartments and Villas welcomes you home. Minot North Highlands features spacious furnished corporate housing with underground parking, a 30-seat movie theater, a large swimming pool and hot tub, plus a basketball court, fitness center, and a family playground complex. Minot North Highlands Apartments. You know you have arrived. For information, call Jackie at 605-336-2111.
Waiting list now open for 2014.
Our guest today on the Hegg Bakken Report is the man who recently took over as mayor of Minot, North Dakota, Mr. Chuck Barney. Mayor, Minot has experienced a growth in population, gone through some major renovations recently. You have a new airport terminal in your city. Where do you see the airport being in a few years, and do you expect to continue seeing an increase in flights?
I would think so. As our population increases, we very rapidly outgrew the existing terminal. I flew in on Tuesday night, and you know, we had planes stacked up on the apron waiting to get into a gate. The waiting areas are much too small. They're basically designed for one flight at a time, and we've got two or three out there at any time. The new terminal will certainly help that. I think that as more and more capacity comes online with the terminal, we'll see more and more flights that we're able to handle. Right now, it's challenging to get the flights in and out because of the cramped space in our terminal.
You have a new school, a new marketplace, and what can the people of Minot look forward to next?
Well, the school district did a really nice job of fixing the schools that were in the flood. Longfellow School, still down in the valley, is a beautiful new building. They completely gutted the inside and added some additions to not just fix what happened during the flood, but to accommodate more growth. The Ramstead Middle School, which was completely destroyed by the flood, the inside walls were blown out by the pressure of the water. They relocated and reopened last November way up on North Hill, and it's just a beautiful school and has been very well received. Recently, the community as a whole voted for a bond to build a new elementary school on the southwest side of town. So we've got great things happening with our schools and with the park district, too. One of the things that we really need to do as a community is figuring out ways that the city, the county, the park board, and the school board can work together and have a common vision and work together in building some of these projects.
Got a great downtown in Minot. Do you have plans to keep the momentum up for that area and the city as a whole?
We have two large parking structures that are being built right now. In fact, I was downtown over lunch, and they're pouring the concrete for the walls. And in addition to the parking structures, there's going to be residential and retail space that surrounds it. That's going to be a great asset to the downtown community, because as with all downtowns, parking is always a premium. In addition to that, we got some CDBG money that we're using to renovate the infrastructure that currently serves downtown. There's two problems with the current infrastructure. The first one is that it's too small to accommodate the population that it now serves. The second problem is that it's over 100 years old, and it's beginning to fail. So we have the money. We've got about a 2.5-year plan now, because we started it this year, on replacing that infrastructure. And we'll have sections of the city torn up, sections of the downtown. You know, business will be open. We'll be supporting our downtown merchants. And when we get done, we're going to even have a more beautiful and vibrant downtown. Because like you said, downtown Minot is experiencing a renaissance. We've got all sorts of shops and restaurants and places for people to go in the evening. And it's very vibrant and very active. And it's really a jewel within the city.
It can be stated that the oil boom in western North Dakota has had a lot to do with the growth in Minot. And based on that, what are your thoughts on what's happening in the Bakken and its impact on the Minot community?
Well, there's no denying that. You know, the oil boom has had a tremendous impact on our community. When I was first elected to the city council back in 2000, people were asking me why I was interested in running. And I told them it was very self-serving. I said, I want Minot's economic climate to be such that when my kids graduate from college, they have the opportunity to stay here if they so desire. And so my answer was always economic development, and economic development. Well, that's changed with the oil boom. We do have, we've got the development now, and now is the opportunity for us to diversify that economy so that we are not just oil dependent, but we can also begin to diversify into value-added agriculture. We've got some high-tech businesses that use our internet backbone here in Minot, and we're even looking at maybe some manufacturing industries to come into the area.
So having said that, you feel that the growth will continue for years, maybe decades to come?
I think that the growth will continue. It may not be as meteoric as it currently is, but I think we're going to continue to grow. I think that as our economy diversifies and we have other things besides oil, that because I think the oil is going to continue growing for a number of years too. But now that we've got this momentum, I think we'll have other industries that are going to dovetail nicely when the oil does slow down.
Mayor Barney, touch on the port of North Dakota and how that affects your area.
The port is a really interesting project. The port offers us a access to the main line of Burlington Northern and the CP Rail. We are able to export product, whether that would be grains or other grain-like products, things that have been value-add. We've got businesses that are popping up around the port, and we see that as a real growth area for the community. And, rail is a huge asset to Minot. I mean, that's why Minot is where it's at, was because of the railroad coming through. And we're just trying to take advantage of that relationship and build the infrastructure necessary for businesses to come there and access that rail.
The oil boom to the west, and Minot going through somewhat of a renaissance. What do you tell entrepreneurs about Minot? What's your pitch to get them and their family up there?
That's a great question, because I just used that same pitch on my son to try to get him to come home. I liken it to this. I said, you've read about booms in the past. You've read about the Texas oil booms, and you've read about the gold booms in San Francisco and the dot-com boom in Silicon Valley. I say, right now, in Minot, North Dakota, we're in the middle of a boom just like that. And this is the place you want to come to stake your claim to that fortune. And I believe that. I think, if you're looking to get ahead and if you're looking to take advantage of a boom economy, Minot, North Dakota is the place to be right now. Not tomorrow, but right now.
Mr. Zimbelman was a guest on this program shortly before the end of his tenure as mayor of Minot, North Dakota. You stated a few moments ago that you and he are friends. What did he say to you when he handed over the keys and shook your hand?
He laughed, I think. he wished me well. He and I have been together for a long time. He was an alderman when I was first elected. I was he was very supportive of me as an alderman. He put me on some very important committees, he's always been very supportive, and I'm sure that if the need arose and I needed a resource or a sounding board, Kurt would be very, very receptive and helpful in that regard.
And finally, sir, are there any books that you've read in your life that have influenced you or have helped you get to where you're at today?
Well, I read a lot of books. I typically read either biographies or historical books. There's been a couple. There's been a few that have stuck out in my mind. Titan was one that was written about John D. Rockefeller. One that I just finished that I continually think about was the Stephen Jobs biography. It was one of those books I could hardly put down because he was such a fascinating and complicated person. So those are two that kind of jump out right off the cuff like that.
We've chatted for about a little over 20 minutes now, sir, and I get a great feeling that Minot, North Dakota, is in very capable hands. Our guest today on the Hegg Bakken Report, the recently appointed mayor of Minot, North Dakota, Chuck Barney. Mr. Barney, thank you so much for joining us on the show today.
My pleasure. Hope we do it again.
If you want more of the Hegg Bakken Report, you can subscribe to the Hegg Bakken Report at iTunes or go to heggbakkenreport.com. That's HEGGBAKKENREPORT.com, where you can get all of the transcripts and audio for past newsmakers in the United States energy industry and much, much more. Follow the Hegg Bakken Report on Twitter @HeggBakkenReport or on Facebook. Until next time, thanks for listening.